Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Again, to repeat what Brian said, we enjoyed the banquet last night.
Thank the Lord.
Did a good job serving.
Amen.
In groups. A couple of weeks ago, Sister Vicki did a song, Give Me Jesus. I don't know what's the name of it. And you know, that's all we need. If you've got Jesus, that's all you need.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to a new song by a Kingsman that is new to me. He's everything I need.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel. I know in your bulletin it's 2 Peter. I'm switching it up a little bit. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Sorry about that, Brother Phil. We normally don't do that. If it's in the bulletin, we normally go with what's in the bulletin, but sometimes things change. 2 Samuel chapter number 3, I want to read just one verse. And I want to share with you this thought It's not always easy. It's not always easy. Sometimes we think or feel like serving the Lord should be real easy. Shouldn't be any problems, any difficulties, no hiccups along the way. But as you look at the Bible, you find out that's not the testimony of the Scriptures at all. I think what's happening in our day is because we have this thought that it should be easy to live the Christian life, that when we hit the difficult times and dark days, that many are just discouraged altogether with their faith. They are shocked that they would have to go through anything like this. And I do pray that the Holy Ghost of God would take His Word this morning and help us to see that the common Christian life is really a life of conflict. The common Christian life is a life of conflict. It's a life of struggle. If you tried to grow and become more like Jesus, you know that's not an easy thing. Right? And sometimes you feel like a yo-yo. Sometimes you feel like you're on a roller coaster. You think, man, I'm doing so great. That's amazing. And then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know what happened. The wheels have fallen off. And I don't even know how I got here. And it's in those times that you need to be mindful of the Scriptures. And you need to just continue to serve the Lord. Amen. And so, just one verse, and that's verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 3. King Saul has died, his sons died in battle, and David has received the news, and since he's already been anointed as king, then it should be that he takes on the throne, and they don't skip a beat. But notice, now, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this morning. And I confess that I must have your help. I know, God, that you have precious souls here, and people that you love and care about. And Lord, you want them to hear from you, not from me. And they need to hear from you. God, they need to receive help and strength and understanding. Their knowledge needs to increase about spiritual things, the things of God. And Lord, I have no way to bring that to pass. Lord, only you can do that. And so I ask you that you would allow the Holy Ghost of God to bless the preaching of the Word of God, that it would meet the need of your children, the children of God. And God, because of your work this morning, there'd be some of your church family that would be helped, your children that would be strengthened. And Lord, even if there are those that are unsaved, we pray that they might be drawn to Christ, that they would be saved in this very service. Lord, that takes your power. And we thank you for your grace, and we pray, God, that your grace and power would be evident in this service so that your will would be accomplished. And Lord, we'll thank and praise you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Often in the Christian life, we forget some vital scriptures. We like to think of those things that are really beneficial to us. And then those that have a word of warning, we like to kind of skip over them when we're reading. I'm glad that all of those things are true. Those words of encouragement and strengthening are absolutely true. But the words of warning are true and necessary as well. When we think about the Christian life, we like those verses that says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, that's absolutely true. Praise God that it is. Amen? Amen. We like when Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not just conquerors, Brother Lewis. We're more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that's true as well, aren't you?
Yes.
And many other of the great promises that we have from our Lord Jesus Christ. He warns us about the thief in John chapter 10. It comes not but to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Or he told us in Matthew chapter 11 that if we're burdened and heavy laden, Jesus said, come to him and he would give us rest. For his yoke is easy, our Lord says this, his yoke is easy and his burden light. And let me say, testify to this, that's absolutely true. Amen?
Amen.
I know that I'd much rather be a Christian, trying to grow in my understanding of who Christ is, my relationship with Christ, than I would be in the world. The Bible says about the lost man that the way of the transgressor is hard. If you want to think about how hard life is, try to live it without God.
Amen.
That's a hard life. Amen?
Amen.
That's a difficult life. It's like the raging sea that cast up dirt and mire. To live without God is to live a life in a storm. To live a life that's constantly in trouble and vexation of soul. Yes, there's pleasure in sin, but that pleasure only lasts for a short season. So I'd much rather be a Christian than anything I know. But along with those positive passages, it talks about our relationship in Christ, what we have because of Christ, even the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God that all believers possess. God, along with those great encouraging texts, gives us constant warnings throughout the scriptures. And we need to be mindful of them as well. In Ephesians chapter 6, for example, as Paul concludes that book, he tells us that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he exhorts us to put on the entire or whole armor of God. And then he gives us what the armor, pieces of armor are. He goes through the list. And in doing that, he says, I want you to understand something. You are wrestling, but you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a real, intense, raging conflict. And we might not be engaged in that conflict, but that conflict is an ongoing, real conflict. And Paul could not describe it any better than what he described it in Ephesians chapter 6. He also says this when he wrote a young pastor, young Timothy. He said this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. He said to Timothy, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he went on to say that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who's called him. So when Paul thought about the Christian life, he did not think about a bed of ease, everything's fine, everything's always going to work out. Neither would he be considered a positive preacher, preaching only positive thoughts. With every true thought, everything that is true, there also is a negative side to that truth. Isn't that right? For instance, the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Well, guess what the negative side of that is? If you don't believe, you won't be saved. And most likely, your descendants won't be saved either. Right? So the great truth is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But echoed in that truth is, if you don't believe on him, you won't be saved. Amen? So we are soldiers, we are warriors, we're in a constant conflict. In fact, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, about the weapons of our warfare. Again, doesn't sound like to me he's talking about just an easy skip to the lula Christian life. He's trying to couch it in terms of danger, conflict, enduring hardness, difficulties, despair, trouble. It's not always easy. And nowhere in the scriptures do you find that it's just an easy life to live. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul looked back on his life and he said this about his usefulness to God, his warring for God. He said, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says this. So it's not just the Apostle Paul that warns us about this. It's the other disciples, apostles as well. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter warns us, be sober and be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walking about as a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. He said, you and I need to stay on guard. We need to stay alert. We don't need to go to sleep. Why? Because the enemy, Satan, is out there roaring. He's boastful. And he's also on our trail. And we've got to be ready when he pounces so that we might could defeat him. So it shouldn't surprise us that when we get to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, that when we read it, we might assume that since the king has died and David has been anointed to being the king of Israel, then hey, that's finally going to work out. Everything's going to fall in place and David's just going to be the king and everybody's going to be happy about David being the king. And all that he had faced up to this point would just be a memory in the past, and now he's going to enjoy God's calling on his life. And then when we start reading, we realize, no, there's still more conflict in front of David before he can become the king that's identified by the entire nation as the true king. First of all, I want you to draw your attention to this truth, the sovereign choice. The sovereign choice. Remember, In 1 Samuel, God had rejected King Saul as being the leader of the nation of Israel. He had, because of pride, turned against the things of God. He did things that God had instructed him not to do. One of those things was he kept alive the king of the Amalekites and other acts of disobedience. And since he was disobedient to God, God sent Samuel and said, you can no longer be the king over Israel. Neither will any of your descendants sit on the throne. I'm going to remove you from the throne, and I'm not going to let any of your children sit on the throne. I'm going to choose a new king. And when you go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, you'll see that Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and he's looking at Jesse's seven sons. And every time he looks at one, Samuel thinks, well, that's a tall, handsome man. Maybe he's the next king. And God says, no, no, no. And then finally he says, do you have any other children here besides these? He said, yeah, I've got one little old ruddy fella. You know, he's handsome, but he's, I mean, I don't know why you'd want David. So, well, we can't do anything until David gets here. David comes and God speaks to Samuel and said, that's the next king right there. Now, God chose him. God established him as king. God put him in that position, in that place. And yet, even though God placed him there, it was a difficult place to be. Even before, I probably have to keep y'all here a bit longer today because it's raging outside. So. We'll preach here until the storm passes. That's all right. Yeah. even though God chose him, God called him, it didn't mean that it was an easy way for David to go. Even while King Saul was alive, he made it miserable for young David. Even after David became a well-known soldier, remember Saul would chase him, try to kill him with a javelin or spear, chased him to take his life, and David would flee from Saul and run and hide in caves. And many of the Psalms are about the time that Saul is pursuing him. And in one time, David said, there's just one step between me and death was Saul. So just because God has chosen you or God has called you or God is using you, it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. Every one of us who are followers of Christ, we are called. We all have a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? We all have this position that we have because of who Jesus is. We're part of the body of Christ. We've been made part of the family of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We have the promise of heaven as our eternal home. We have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. We have great blessings because that we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But that does not exempt us from troubles and trials and difficulties. Just like it did not exempt David, though God had sovereignly chosen him to be the king, it did not exempt David from difficulties and problems and great distress. By the way, if you look at most of the people in the Bible, you'll see that that is kind of the pattern. It's not an unusual thing with David. Most of the people in the Bible, they didn't have it easy. It was not just live life and whistle down the road, everything's fine. Most of them had a tough time. I don't know if you thought about how difficult it was for Noah. Noah built the ark, and he knew the world was going to be flooded. I think it was a global flood. I don't think it was just an area that was flooded. And he's building this ark, and he's preaching, and he knows everyone's going to perish if they don't get in the ark, and he's pleading with them, some say for 120 years. I don't know exactly how many years. We do know it was a long time. And no matter how hard Noah worked, no matter how strong as preaching was, still no one was coming. Now, if you don't think that's tough, you don't know what it's like to sit in a Sunday school class and want to see your students saved and want to see it grow, and you're praying and you're praying, you're visiting and you're working, and it just seems to be nothing. And yet Noah was faithful in his generation. Noah wasn't the only one that faced great problems and difficulties. Remember, only 8 souls were saved, and that was just his family members. After all that work, after all that effort, after all those tears, after all the blisters. How's it going, Noah? I only have 7 other than myself. It wasn't just Noah. Think of Abraham's struggles. Yes, Abraham faced difficulties and struggles. Think of Joseph, who was given such a great dream. One day you're going to rule over your brothers. You're going to rule even over your mother and your father. That's a great dream. But he did not know, in order to obtain that dream, it was going to cost him. His brothers would turn their back on him. They would want to kill him. They would sell him into slavery. In slavery, he'd be selected and served, only be lied on and put in prison. In prison, the psalmist said he was in chains, and those chains hurt him. What? Sometimes we glorify that. Oh, he's in prison. He looks like he's a leader. Probably pretty easy on no. It was hard. Then he thought that he had a way out. interpret two men's dream and said, only thing I ask you is you, when you get before the king, tell him my situation. And the man that went before the king forgot all about it. Can you imagine sitting there thinking, all right, the butler's there. I know he's going to see the king most every day. Maybe today he'll send word back. Years passed. Nothing. You and I don't probably understand the weight of that. You ever been in a prison, and thinking you might get out if so-and-so would talk to so-and-so, and year after year goes by and nothing changes. It would probably be too much this morning just to go through every character in the Bible. So let me skip to 2 Corinthians and talk to you a little bit about Paul's life. Remember, all these individuals were chosen of God, selected of God. But there was a constant struggle that they faced. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul summed up his ministry, the proof of his ministry. Now they tell me in China, instead of asking a pastor what seminary he attended, like they do in America, to find out if he's qualified to be a pastor, not in China, they ask the question, how many years have you spent in prison? And Paul, when he's talking about his proof of ministry, that he is truly a minister of Christ, he gives these details that prove that he is a minister of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant. This is 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read that next one with me as well. In stripes above measure. Paul, how many times were you flogged? How many times were you beaten? I can't count them. When we go through the book of Acts, we run through pretty rapidly, but we don't see all that the Apostle Paul endured because he was being a faithful minister of the gospel, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Wow, what a list. So you and I should not think it strange when we go through fiery trials. We know Peter said that, but the problem is when we go through a time of difficulty or loss, or we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, most believers fall in a tailspin. Like, I didn't expect this. I didn't see this. And sometimes we do like the young, immature Christians do, and we would say, Lord, I'm attending church. I'm giving my tithes. We run off this. Have y'all ever run off this list? You know, I'm attending church regular. I mean, I don't miss anything. I even go to Sunday school, and I'm tithing, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying. And really, what we're saying is, Lord, how could you let something like this happen to me? Look at all this stuff I'm doing. He said for us to not think it strange when we come in these fiery trials. Remember, even in the book of James, James said this is how we're to respond to difficulties. Because we know it's not going to be easy. We know We're going to face problems and trials and things that we just don't even understand. How are we to handle those things? So James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote that when we find ourselves in these different trials, count it all joy. When you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and said, let patience have her perfect work.
Yes, amen.
What am I to do when I'm in this fiery trial? And let patience have her perfect work. Because what is God doing? He's making me more like Jesus.
Right.
He's using this really hard thing to make me more like Christ. And if it weren't for this, I could not be as Christ-like as I need to be. No, it's not an accident. It's by design that God has allowed you to go through a dark valley. And Paul's list is quite a lengthy list, but even in Hebrews chapter 11, you go through quite a bit that these great men and women of faith were able to accomplish. They saw their dead raised back to life. They done wonderful works for God. But as he approaches the end of this faith chapter, he wants to remind us that not all things work out the way that we hope they would or the way that we want them to. Sometimes they work out just the opposite. Let me say this to you. I believe this with all my heart. Our God is a healing God.
Yes, amen.
That means by this that God can heal anybody of anything.
Yes, amen.
There's no disease in this world that God could not just take away in just a moment.
Amen.
He still heals. But he doesn't always heal.
Right.
You know, sometimes for his more choice saints, he lets them go through a deep valley of suffering. You say, why would you say it's more choice saints? Because he knows he's not going to put on us more than we are able to bear. But he knows there's some of my children that can bear that. And in those deep trials, they can be a glorious testimony of their love for me, regardless of what's going on in the world. Right? Well, look at all this guy, this woman, this sweet saint of God's going through. But look at her joy in Jesus. Look at her confidence in the things of God. Look at her stability. Look at her faith. And when the world sees that, they glorify Jesus. They don't say, well, she's such a wonderful person. They say, her God must be an amazing God.
Amen.
Toward the end of chapter 11 in Hebrews, he mentions these folks as well. Verse 35, women receive their dead raised to life again, and others. Listen to this, and others. And others were tortured. Wait a minute. Some quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, was made strong, turned to flight the enemies, fought off armies. Yes, and some were tortured. Not accepting deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Verse 37, this faith chapter. This is still in the faith chapter. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. What kind of people were these? Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. These were just as faithful as all the others were faithful. Amen?
Amen.
The nation of Israel comes to mind, especially when they were being delivered from Egyptian bondage. We're so much like Israel, it's embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to read about them and think, how could y'all do that? How could y'all treat God that way? And then we who have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, which they did not have, treat him far worse sometimes. So Moses comes to Israel and said, God wants to deliver you. He heard your cries, and he's going to set you free. Mention it to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, well, I guess y'all have just too much time on your hands. I mean, I thought it was cruel slavery, but evidently y'all just got too much time. I'm not going to give you straw. I'm not going to give you anything to make bricks with. You got to go out and get your own straw, your own hay, and still make the same amount of bricks. And Brother Lewis, they could not do it. It was impossible. They went to the ones over them and said, we cannot do it. I mean, by the time we gathered the material, the day's gone. We can't do the bricks. And they still beat them and said, that's not an excuse. You got 24 hours in a day. Figure out how to squeeze in 25. And what did they do? Y'all remember what they did? They went to Moses and they said, Moses, how dare you mention anything to us about leaving here? Ever since you brought it up, it's gotten worse. I mean, it was bad. And then you said, God's going to set us free. And it got far worse. We wish you had never said anything. You know, really, I start to say I wish that your Christian life was easy, but I really don't, because you're not going to grow much if it's easy.
That's right.
But I do pray that the next time you face hardship and difficulties, that you stop and remember, this is common in the Christian walk. Everybody goes through hard times. And it's not always easy. David, King Saul's died. Jonathan's died. We want to make you king. Well, God's anointed me to be king. All right, let's do it. And then some of King Saul's descendants are fighting David and fighting and fighting. Guess what? They fought him for 7 long years. Sometimes you hit a difficulty in your life, and I've seen this time and time again. People hit a difficulty and they first say, I know this is God's will. This is God's will. And then they hit a difficulty, Brother Randy, and they say, I know this is not God's will. Have you ever seen people like that? I mean, they're fully convinced this is God's will. And then things go sideways. And they're even just as fully convinced it never was God's will. And I say, God didn't change his mind like that. Just because it gets hard, it doesn't mean it's not God's will. Where would the church of God be if every time something got hard, we just quit? You want to read through the book of Acts again? How was it in the book of Acts? I mean, did everybody just sit down and start saying, well, Christianity is great. That's wonderful. Everybody should become a Christian. No, they did not do that. They fought it as hard as they could fight it. And it still flourished. So just because it's hard, it doesn't mean it's not the will of God for you. Amen?
Amen.
For 7 years, David's struggling, and finally, David gains the victory. The house of Saul gets weaker and weaker as David's family gets stronger and stronger. I do want to end by saying this. There is success. And when I say success, please don't misunderstand me. I think so often when we think of a success, spiritual success, we think of the world's thought terms of success. You know, there's going to be some people in heaven that never accomplished anything for God, but what they did do really paved the way for God's work to go forward. There have been many a missionary that we don't even know their names that went to some foreign field, some evangelized area, went off into those woods to try to reach those unreached people, and when they were met by those people that lived there, they were killed immediately. And the world laughs at that. I remember there was a podcast by Joe Rogan where this man tried to go and reach some unevangelized people, and as soon as he stepped on the beach, they killed him. And they start, you just threw your life away. What a waste. And they mocked him for trying to get to those people and tell them folks about Christ. They mocked him. Any of y'all remember hearing that? Can I tell you something? In heaven, he'll be one of God's choicest servants.
Amen.
A lot of the great works that God has built in the earth were first built through the blood of some martyr. So there will be success as we continue to fight for the cause of Christ. The only thing that you and I have to concern ourselves with is, are we doing God's will?
Amen.
And if we know we're doing God's will, whatever the results are, we can leave them to God. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if you know the story of Adnan Judson, but he went to be a missionary. And for 7 years, he had not one convert. Burma. He went to Burma to be a missionary. And for 7 years, not one single convert. So the mission board that sent him thought, we might as well just pull him off the field. 7 years, no one's been saved, no convert at all. He was steadily trying to translate the Bible into their native tongue, witnessing, talking to people, praying, working, laboring. And no one was saved. And after that 7 years, God began to bring in a multitude to Christ. You know what we do often? Year 6, we quit. Year 6, we quit. We think, well, evidently, God's not going to do anything here. Maybe I missed my calling. I probably should be on the other side of the earth somewhere doing something other than this. Just because things aren't going the way we hope they would go doesn't mean that it's not God's will that we're doing exactly what we're doing. Amen? Let me remind you of our ultimate success. One day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to reward us.
That's right.
I personally believe on that day He is going to pass out some rewards to people that we thought, I don't know why they're getting rewards. Who are they? No book was ever written about them. No song was ever written about them. They just served God faithfully, and God blessed them. And they were faithful when times were going great, and then when times were really tough. One of these days we're going to stand before Christ, and Christ Himself will reward us for our faithful service to Him. And remember, the writer of Hebrews said this: He is not unrighteous to forget our works and labor of love. What kind of things will you take in consideration that day? What tracts that we passed out? I sometimes feel for our men. We go out every other Saturday, we go out door knocking. And just to be honest with you, some Saturdays we go out and we hang more, we leave more tracts than we do talk to anybody. And then sometimes when we talk to people, It's the most heartbreaking thing you'll ever experience in your entire life. They're not interested in their spiritual condition at all.
That's sad.
Saturday after Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. He said, "Preacher, why in the world keep going then?" Because one day we're going to stand before Christ and we're going to give an account. Hey, did you try to reach your Jerusalem with the gospel? Or did you just say, "Y'all come to church and let's sing and worship together"? And I hope that on that day we can say, as a church, "Well, we try to reach every home in our community. We knocked on every door. We try to tell people about Jesus." By the way, last Saturday was probably one of the most successful days that we've had out in our visitation work. Maybe because you were fasting and praying. I don't know what made the difference Saturday, but it was a difference. So one of these days you are going to personally stand before Christ, and Christ is going to reward you. So don't quit serving Him no matter what you face. Don't give up because it's hard. After this 7-year period of time, David sat on the throne, done amazing work for God, even saw one of his sons sit on the throne after him. Isn't that amazing? That don't happen to people who quit. That don't happen to people who are going through a tough time and say, "Well, if that's what Christianity means, I don't want no part of it. Well, I don't want no part of the world, so whatever comes of Christianity, I want to be a part of that." Amen? Amen. And so it's not always going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. One of these days we stand before Christ, He rewards His faithful servants. We'll be glad on that day that we continue to serve the Lord, regardless of what we face. Amen?
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, you've not received Christ as your Savior, we want to do our best this morning to urge you to come to Jesus this very morning, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I told a young man yesterday, name was Matt. I said, "Matt, 10 out of 10 people die. We're all going to die." And the Bible said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." That means you might not see the sunrise in the morning. And if you're not saved and you die lost, you're going to spend eternity in hell.
Yes.
It may be the reason you come to church this morning is so that you could come to know Christ as your Savior. Amen? Yes.
Amen.
And I want you to know, if you come to Him, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But it will be worth it. Amen?
Amen.
And Christian, if you're going through a tough time, you need the Lord's help, you need the Lord's grace, then come and ask Jesus for help. Remember, our Lord didn't just talk about difficulty, He suffered the cruel cross of Calvary. No one ever died the death that Jesus died. And so let's be faithful followers of our Lord. Amen. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, please help us this morning. God, we